This is the Pete and Sebastian Show with Pete Corielli and Sebastian Maniscalco.
Hey, Biscuit, it's Jimmy from Boston. Biscuit, let's try to forget the fact that you take a personal trip on your little scooter to have a man spray you down as you stand there before him in your tighty-whities with your arms and legs spread open, your head back, your eyes closed, and your best do-what-you-will-with-me pose as if that shit wasn't bouncy enough. What really blows my mind is the fact that you own your very own personal hairdryer? Who blow-dries their hair as a man, kid? It is no wonder J.J. Watt doesn't pump up this show on social media. Dude's ashamed of you! Listen to me. You squirt a little gel in your hand, you rub that shit through your hair, and you get on with your day, like a gentleman. Later.
Yeah, Pete and Sebastian Show, we are back. I'm excited. That's all I'm going to say right now.
Oh, yeah, this is long time coming, long time in between casts for us. So it's been so long, we've had to write some notes down to remember to talk about them.
Yeah, there's a lot we got to get into. And before we do, we were both on the road last week. We said we might cast it up on a Saturday. I text you Saturday. What kind of text is that? From a professional comedian at your level to text back and say, the more I think about it, I got nothing to talk about.
Yeah, because I knew what was in store for us. And why do a cast when you haven't lived a life? There's life to our casts, man.
You got it. You bring up a great point, because it was a part of me kind of glad we didn't do it. And then now I feel like there's just a lot to catch up on.
Yeah, we would have been a week almost behind. These stories that we've encountered during the week, we might have forgot if we did this last week. So, to me, I think that was a great move on our part to save it for a Thursday night airing on Friday. We got some stuff to get into, man.
We do. Where do we start?
Well, I want to start by saying you texted me last, I think it was Saturday night, and said, you bombed.
It was one of the worst experiences I've had on stage in about 10 years, man. Holy shit.
Say it ain't so, Joe. Say it ain't so.
What? Well, take me through it. You were at, casino?
I was playing the Comics Comedy Club in Foxwoods Casino in Connecticut, right? Nice club. Nice people. I say it's a bomb, but it's really not a bomb. But bottom line, no matter what, people are walking out and you're on stage, it's on you. But let me explain, all right? So the first show Saturday night is great. I have a fantastic time, good crowd. So now there's a late show on Saturday night. I'm saying, meeting people and signing some CDs at the end of the first show. And this fantastic guy named Steve, a real fan of the show and just a sweetheart of a guy, comes up and we're chatting for a while. And he's like, bottom line, he's seen the show a bunch of times and he loves the cast as well. He's like, I was thinking about coming to the late show because I heard it's the dirty show. And I was, but then I'm like, Petey probably doesn't do much different. I go, oh, it's the dirty show? He goes, yeah, it's called the... and I go, because I thought that was Friday, and I only did one show Friday, so, and then the late show was like a dirty show, so I thought that was the end of it. So I go, I didn't know it was a dirty show. So then the place is packed, and I mean, sold out, 300 and change, and for people that were there to see me do my stuff, shit, man, I owe you one. Email me or text me a photo of your ticket to prove you were there, and I'll call you and do 20 minutes on your cell phone for you. Each individual. Put it in order and I'll do. So, dude, first of all, the guy who, you know, backstage was announcing the show. They start about a half hour late. There's got to be four or five bachelor parties, bachelorette parties, two or three bachelor parties. You know, it's a casino in the middle of nowhere, and I'm getting the vibe pretty quick that there's not a lot of people here specifically to see the Pete Corielli show.
Yeah.
So it's about a half hour late, and then the guy yells out, we're getting ready to start the show. If you'll all just shut the fuck up, we could start. And the crowd goes crazy. They love it. And I'm like, oh, man. And then, you know, it doesn't help that. I mean, I love the guys who run the club, and it's a great club. But the first guy does like 15. And then the second guy does like 30. And I'm like, man, this is not a time for everybody to be flexing their muscles, man. Let's get the fuck off. So, and I just know, you know, bro, we've been doing it long enough to know the attention span of a crowd like that. They got things to do. They got things. They got to dance, do shots. They're going, man.
Yeah, yeah. This is no time to go out there. You want minimal time, 10, 15, and then you come out there. Maybe yes. Do 45, 50.
Exactly. Exactly, bro.
Yeah.
So I get up there about a good solid 40 minutes into the show, and I go up, and my first 20 minutes are going great. I mean, doing really well. But even then, it was like, you know, man, you ever driving a car fast in the rain? And you're like, I got it, but I don't really have it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? All it takes is a sharp left, and we're fucking doomed. Don't think I'm in control because we haven't skidded, because I am not in control of nothing right now. And I knew that. I've been doing this shit long enough, and I'm like, man, I do not think I am going to be able to ride this out for 45. So at 20 minutes in, I mean, they dropped these checks. And you would have thought they were slaughtering a pig in the middle of the room. Yes. Nobody listened to a word I was saying. And you know, you feel like there's pockets of people that might be, so you're just trying to plow through. And at one
point, I'm going to interrupt you here. At one point, while this is happening, do you say to yourself, ooh, we're in for, or do you like, this is a rough patch, I'll get over it? Where's your head at this point?
My head at this point is that this is getting so ugly, and I don't think I'm pretty positive I am not going to get this crowd back. And this is either going to end one of two ways, them booing me off the stage or me reaching a contractual time limit and just sliding out the back.
Yeah.
You know, so at one point I even go to the crowd, it has been a long time since I have found myself up on this rock looking down, you know, so, something like that, you know, making it pretty clear. And a couple of people were laughing. But, dude, I mean, it was the thing that was so crazy about it. It was like nobody was booing me. Nobody was yelling, you suck. It was just as if I was just a complete non-entity. And, yeah. And I would say out of 320 people, I would say a solid 140 people walked out.
Ooh.
After they got their check, just filed out. And the guys that run the club and everyone else, they're like, dude, that's like totally not on you. I mean, not a single person complained or didn't pay. I mean, they were all just smiley, ready to go do something else, you know? And then the last half of the people, I got them back for a solid 10 minutes, but it was more of a, I don't know, I felt it was more like a, hey, let's give this guy the proper laughter and wrap this puppy up before you know, he decides to try and drag it out longer. It was gross and ugly, and it wasn't a bomb in the sense that people weren't booing me, but it was a failed show. You like to think you're so great that no matter what, everybody there will just go nuts and stick around no matter what, no matter what their plans were.
Yeah.
And it was, dude, it was, whew, man. Thank God we've been doing this so long, you can shake that shit right off. But I'm just getting all weird of now because I'm thinking in a moment, bro, it was bad up there. It was fucking bad.
I don't think there's a worse feeling you could have aside from a family member passing away when you're up there, how bad you feel.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, it is so bad. When you lose control like that and people aren't listening for whatever the reason, they're animals, I mean, bro, forget the dirty show. Anything with dirty in front of it, you shouldn't be doing.
I didn't even know it was the dirty show until the end of the early show.
I mean, the only thing you should be doing that's dirty is laundry.
I know, man. And then the guy comes in the back who works out front, because I wouldn't go out there. I'm like, I ain't going out there, man. And he just hands me like two $10 bills. Somebody bought a CD. Oh, God.
Oh, man.
Yeah, but the minute you get off, it's like, we've been doing it long enough that it's the worst feeling when you're up there. But you get off and you move on, man.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure you won't have any of those problems ever again. As long as you don't do the dirty shows. Man, when I hear dirty, I never go to anything like that. Do you? Dirty show, none of that.
Yeah, I think comics are dirty as it is, you know? So when I hear dirty show, I'm thinking, like, it's going to be, like, really, like, I don't know, shit that I'm not going to really like.
Yeah. Excuse me. We have Jeter's last game was tonight. Is that right?
Yeah, man. Everyone who has that ticket can say, I saw the last time Derek Jeter played.
Well, is this a big deal? I mean, the people are making it sound like... What?
All right. I just hate to do another long bit because I just spoke a lot, but I'll keep it quick. Derek Jeter is Jesus Christ reincarnated. All right? You need to understand, Sebastian, this fucking guy is the greatest Yankee, New Yorker. He's awesome, dude. He's everything. The last game of the season tonight, his last at bat in the bottom of the ninth against a team that needed to win the game for playoff purposes. He hits the game-winning, game-ending hit that drives in the run. Ends the game. The hit that he hits, the game ends after that hit. The place goes crazy. It's like the guy's... He's unbelievable. He's like the Michael Jordan of baseball.
Is he the best baseball player ever?
No.
No way. No way. Was this garbage?
No, he's not.
Who is?
Well, let's take roids and not even... That doesn't matter. Then Barry Bonds is the greatest baseball player I've ever seen. Fucking Bionic Man. There was a few seasons where Barry Bonds was literally playing wiffle ball. I mean, you would watch him and you'd go, oh, if we can just keep him from hitting the ball in the fucking water, that'd be great. Because they have behind the home run wall in San Fran, as you probably know, because you have family out that way. Have you ever been to a game there?
Never, but I know what you're talking about.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they got people with canoes out there. Once in a blue moon, someone will hit a home run, except Barry Bonds would hit him out there all the time, man. Guy was crazy. Sick. But they say it was roids. I mean, he was obviously on roids, but it was still fun to watch.
Yeah. So yeah, I get it, the whole thing, but to go around, there was a video Gatorade put out with Jeter going around New York City. Did you see that?
No, it's fucking bouncy bullshit, right? It's ridiculous.
I don't know. He put one out, and then Paul Konerko of the Sox.
What is this? What did they do? I don't know what you're talking about.
It's a black and white video of Jeter on his way to Yankee Stadium in a private car, an SUV or something. And then he tells the driver, you know what? Pull over. And he's going to walk it in through the neighborhoods.
Oh, my God.
So he goes to, like, a local bar, and people are, like, going ape shit. They're like, oh, my God, it's Jeter. He just walked in. He's signing autographs, and then, he's buying a newspaper. It's just all this new, I don't know. I don't know, man. I get it. He was retiring, but, I mean...
It's ridiculous, man.
How far are we going to go? I don't know. Maybe it's just that I'm 41 years old, and sports, yeah, it's cool, and entertainment, but we got stuff going on in the world that, I'm sorry. No.
It's a distraction. What I don't understand, and you got to know this too, like, have you seen every stadium that Jeter goes to where it's going to be the last time he plays in that against that franchise? They giving him gifts, and you know, and they're donating like thousands of dollars to his charity, Turn 2 Foundation or whatever. And I get that. That makes sense. But they go, oh, the, like, hypothetically, the Milwaukee Brewers gave him $10,000 and a kayak with the Yankee pinstripes and his number on it. Like, what? Like, you think Derek Jeter's going to take that fucking kayak out in Florida? Like, oh, here comes Derek on his Yankee kayak. Like, what the fuck? Dude, another team gave him a gift certificate for a weekend at Napa Valley. Is he really going to... He's going to turn to his supermodel in the lobby and go, baby, you got the coupon! You got the coupon! What is that shit for, bro?
God,
it's ridiculous.
Oh, the gifts. Oh. Come on.
Oh, God. The goddamn Minnesota Twins gave him the second base from the original Metronome. Keep your fucking base.
Where's he putting this shit?
I don't know where you're putting your base. You know how much shit he has? Where he has to be given a tour of his house, and he gets to the point, and this is the second base from... I'd be like, bro, this is the 700th thing I've seen. I'm done. I was done after you showed me Mariah Carey's bra.
By the way, Derek Jeter came out this week and he nullified the rumors that he gives a gift basket. He actually, he said, I don't know where that came from, but I do not do that with women that come to my my place.
He should have let it always be a mystery.
I would have let it sit out there.
Me too, man. Me too. So anyway, I don't know. All I can say, anyone living in New York starting next year on a nice warm day, get your binoculars and look out on the East River or the Hudson. You may see Derek Jeter on a fucking kayak. Oh, dude! Here comes fucking Derek Jeter! It's over! It's over! It's over! Jeter! Holy shit, dude! Jeter! Wearing his shades, just looking like the star that he is.
Derek! Derek!
Derek!
Jeter!
Can all go home now. Holy shit, fucking Derek Jeter!
Who couldn't hit water if he fell out of a fucking boat?
Whew. I gotta tell you about what's going on at the house. There's some big happenings. We've had a possum problem where the possum has been coming out into the yard basically having wine with us. I mean, this thing's comfortable.
Yeah, you had mentioned we Googled it on the show. Yeah. We looked it up. The thing is just so disturbing. No one should have to try to dine with that thing around.
Yeah, so we've taken some drastic measures. We have called a wildlife service who comes, sets up traps. Now it's $150 for the traps, two traps, and they put peanut butter in the traps. This guy comes out to the house, and it's $75 per possum.
All right, so the traps are $150 each, right?
No, $150 for two traps. It's just a rental.
And every time he catches a possum, each possum is $75.
Yeah, he takes the possum to Malibu, which is about 30 miles from where I live. And he dumps it there. So I don't believe any of this. I think the guy actually takes him down the street, releases him, and he comes back. The guy's making a fortune, right?
Oh, you got to tag these fucking things.
That's what I said to Lon. We spray paint the tail.
Spray paint the tail, man.
So, We have this thing out there the whole night, nothing. I'm eating breakfast about 9 o'clock yesterday morning, and I hear the trap go off. Now, the trap's a humane trap. It ain't killing it, just catching it.
Yeah.
I go out.
You call my wife, she'll come do that for you. You see, I told you what you did with the mouse. You
know, we catch a squirrel.
Really?
Now, the guy told me if you catch a squirrel, just, you know, release the lever, the door will open, you know, and the squirrel will go out. All right. Well, this squirrel is going apeshit.
Those things are crazy, dude.
They're crazy. The freaking thing's trying to chew its way out of the cage. The thing's made of metal. And it's got claws, and it's going. So it's on the side of the house. I waited till Lana to come home so she could see it. She's scared of the damn thing. I go up. She goes, what are you going to do? I go, I got to release it. She goes, the thing's foaming at the mouth. I go, well, so I go near it. The thing goes, I mean, it was flailing in the cage. So I go, I ain't touching this thing. That's all I need. I release it, and the thing will attack me. I'll be the first guy to get attacked by a squirrel and die.
I mean, let me ask you this. The latch to release it, would that mean you have to, like, hover over this thing?
Yeah.
But you're obviously, you'll be at least behind it. So if it shoots straight out, you're good. But if it stops to be like, where's the motherfucker that controls? You're right there. You're right there.
I'm right there.
Oh, that's no good, man.
So.
Nah. You got to call a guy.
Well, I didn't want to call a guy because I don't know if he was going to charge me $75 for the squirrel, which he probably would have because he had to come out and make a special trip to the house. So there was a guy next door, a gardener. So I told Lana, here's $20.
Go ahead. Oh, my. So, I can't even. Go ahead. Go ahead.
So here's $20. Go ask the gardener. If he could take it out of here. So, we're like, she's like, oh, I'm going to do it. So, about 10 minutes goes by. She goes outside. Now, I'm inside. I'm waiting for her to come back. How long does it take to ask this guy? About 5-10 minutes go by. She comes back with 4 Mexicans from down the street who are building a house. And the front door is open. And as she's coming up the steps, I don't know if she's got the Mexicans with her. She goes, come on out here. I come out, and I'm looking at the 4 guys, and they're looking at me. And I pull her aside. I go, the whole reason I gave you the 20 was like, you were supposed to act like you were home alone. You didn't want to do it. Now I got to look at 4 grown men. And go, well, here's the squirrel if you guys want to.
By the way, it's still only a 20. If they want to go 5, 5, 5, and 5, that's up to them.
But well, I don't know why 4 came. I don't know if they thought they were going to get laid or what the hell was going on. So they come, and they don't speak English. I don't speak Spanish. I bring them in the back. The guy, without hesitation, picks up the cage like a suitcase and carries it out. Walks 4 or 5 houses down, releases it, comes back, brings me the cage. I couldn't believe that the Mexican people are not afraid of shit.
They are not, dude. They fuck, man. They cross the desert with sneakers and a pack of cigarettes. Did you see him release the squirrel? Were you there for the release?
I didn't see the release, but I just heard that he released it where the construction was happening, and all the guys were kind of like whistling and talking Spanish. I know they were making fun of me.
No, the squirrel was probably going crazy, and they were making fun of the squirrel. They were making fun of you later with Cerveza.
Now, would you have done what I did, or... I mean, I want to know where my manliness is here.
I would have released it. I definitely would have released it. I mean, I mean, was there a way like you could have used the broom handle to get further away?
No, I would have to hover over the thing and release it. I just, the thing was going ape shit. I'm like, there's no way I'm letting this thing out. And the next thing you know, it's all over my face and it's scratching my eyeballs out.
I know. Now that, listen, I would have done it. I honestly would have. But if that's the way you feel, I understand that. What's really saddening here is that everything you just said, it'll turn around and scratch your eyeballs out. And I don't want any part of that. But maybe I can get a Mexican to deal with that for $20. Not to mention, if that did happen, he would have sued you for $1 million. You would have ended up having to give him the house down the block and get the fence lowered before he moved in.
My whole idea was, I normally don't do animal type stuff, and there's guys out there who hunt who are really, you know, good with animals, and I feel, if you sometimes do something out of your wheelhouse, you'll die. You know, like, it'd be like, oh, I don't normally jump out of an airplane with a guy attached to my back with a parachute. I would normally do anything like that. But the time I would do it is the time the parachute don't work. That's what I'm trying to say.
Well, I understand in theory what you're trying to say, man. But, I mean, if let's do a Google that shit right here. If you can just Google, has a squirrel ever attacked and killed a human being?
We asked the guy.
Uh-huh.
Never.
So, I mean, so there's your answer, man. I mean, so, if you had a mountain lion in there, everything your story said would have made sense, right up to the fact that the Mexican still would have released it for $20. but I would have been right there with you. But I mean, it's a squirrel, bro. So did you just still only stick to the 20, or did you give everyone a little something for coming down?
The guy didn't even want to take the 20 from Lana, but he took it, and then I think what happened was he invited his friends to come see what was going on. It was one of those things. I don't know. But listen, I know the listeners are out there, and maybe even some women going, what a pussy that this guy couldn't do this, which I totally agree. It's just a decision I made in the moment to get this squirrel out of the cage. Now, the cage comes back. We reset the cage. I wake up this morning, about 6:10 in the morning, I hear the thing go off. I go down, and we caught the mother load, man. I sent you the video, and it doesn't even do it justice. But this thing is the size of a cat.
Wow! No, it does. It was a great video, and you have to put it on a Facebook page for the show because it was hilarious what you were saying on it. I was laughing. Literally crying out loud, man. It was so goddamn funny.
So we got one. The guy come out to take it away. He reset the traps, and we caught another squirrel. Now, I'm away. I'm in Dallas. Lana's at the house. She goes, what do I do? There's the fucking squirrel in there. It's huge. Our maid let it go.
Is she Mexican by any chance?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they're unbelievable. They are just amazing, amazing people, man.
I flabbergasted that this woman went out there and just handled it.
Animal experts say it's best to keep your distance.
Obviously, anything with a mouth can bite. So in that respect, if people try to push it too much, then the squirrels definitely will try to defend their nest areas.
Dawn Richardson, curator at the California Living Museum, says this time of year the squirrels are more aggressive. The reason? It's breeding season.
When it comes breeding season, they're even more aggressive.
Richardson says although these ground squirrels have become urbanized, it's important to remember that they are still wild animals.
Wildlife needs to remain wild, and so teaching the kids to stay away for that reason is probably the safest thing to do.
And Lana videotaped it. Lana freaked the fuck out. And we got that on video too, so I'll be posting that video to the page.
Oh man, it's hilarious. And I gotta tell you though, I think I think that the fact that this guy is expecting you, that has these traps, to just nonchalantly release the squirrel, on one hand, I think that's a little maybe not cool, but then on the other hand, he's sitting there telling you they've never killed anyone ever, right? They don't...
No.
They don't... They just want out, right, bro? They just want out.
They just want out, but I don't know the thought process of a squirrel. I don't know if the thing, like you said, is going to turn around and go... You captured me, and then that's it. And then there goes my nose.
Isn't it a wild feeling, though, when you set a trap? Like, I never really did that. I never had anything in my home, but, like, I've seen it on TV. And you go out there, and it's there. Yeah. Something's in there.
It's exciting. It is so exciting.
Yeah, I bet.
Me and Lana were like, should we check the trap? I mean, it's like, it's one of these things where, like, we're sitting around the house, like, did you check it yet? I don't know. You want to go out there? We go out there together, and we look at it to see if we caught something. It's like some type of sickness.
No, man, that's America. I mean, that's life. That's just, now, when you heard the trap go off when you caught that first squirrel. I mean, were you like, your heart must have skipped a beat.
Oh, but bro, it's better than doing a Tonight Show.
It's got to be an unbelievable feeling, man.
It is unbelievable feeling. And the guy came out, the guy told Lana, it's a teenager. The one we caught, he called it a teenager. And probably born around April. And there's probably more.
Squirrels or the possum?
Possum. The possum's a teenage possum. And he's like, there's probably a couple more in here. So, you know, this is an ongoing saga. And hopefully over the weekend we'll snag a few more because we can't use our yard, man.
All right, yeah, so you caught one of the kids. You're still trying to catch mom and dad and if there's any siblings.
Well, from what we understand, they don't travel in families. But when there's one, there's probably another one.
Do you think the guy who set the trap, if he owns the company, right? 75 is 75, right? I mean, that's money. Money's money. Do you think maybe some of these guys, like, they're home with their wives that have this kind of business, and they're like, well, baby, then I got the one over on the blah, blah, blah road. I think I'm going to get two more there, so that'll be $150. Well, you always say you're thinking, no, there's definitely a couple more there. I should get those two by next week. I mean, like he was more excited than you to catch one.
When I called him up, I go, bro, we got one. He goes, all right.
So you just called up and said, I got $75. Come pick it up.
Now. I told my buddy, I said, we got one. Now, my buddy's the type of guy, he's pissed off that I didn't call him first because he's one of these guys, he can make a trap and he'd get rid of it for me. So I said, I got this thing in there. He goes, don't call the guy, just drown it in your pool and then throw it in the garbage. Could you do that?
Oh, no, no way. No way could I do that.
Yeah, well, this guy, his mother used to do it. His mother's an immigrant from Italy. She used to fill up a garbage can, dip it in the fucking garbage can, drown it, and throw the damn thing away.
Holy shit. I want to get into that in a sec, but I want to backtrack here and say, considering how excited the guy was who has the traps when you told him you had one, and he was like, all right, maybe at that point you could have said, you know, guy, based on how excited you are to make 75, if you're interested, I've been giving the Mexicans 20 for the squirrels. I'll call you if you want that too. And he'd go, oh, you got the squirrels? Yeah, I do the squirrels for 20.
I'm bidding out. Rodent removal.
Based on the animal, man. Yeah, exactly. 20 for the squirrels, 75 for the possums. Snakes, I do $150. $150, get those fucking things out of here. Now, dude, Jackie and I, the first time we ever made out, it was at a friend's house of hers where she grew up back home. And it was in their backyard, and it was by a pony. I always remember that it was by a pony. And the pony died, and my buddy, whose house, who's dating the married
woman.
Wait.
You're at a house with a pony in the yard? What kind of people are these?
My buddy got married upstate. Jackie was the maid of honor, and I was the best man. And we met. We met at the wedding.
Yeah.
And she had a boyfriend, and I was like, you know, hitting on her anyway, like, that's got to stop. And he left early, so the day after the wedding, the bride had a barbecue family get-together for everyone close at her house, which was kind of like a farm.
Oh.
And,
I didn't think it was a farm. I thought you said it was just
It wasn't really a farm. I mean, they had a rural house, and they just had a pony. It was just a pet. Strange. Nobody could ride.
Yeah, strange to me, but go ahead.
It is strange. And Jackie and I were back there, and I remember how embarrassing, man. I was, like, telling Jackie how attractive she was, and I was so young. I go, can I kiss your belly? You got such a pretty belly. What the fuck? I can't believe she didn't just dumb me. She makes fun of me. To this day, sometimes she still brings that up. She was standing, too. She was standing. It wasn't like she was laying in hay or anything. What the fuck?
Have you ever pulled that move on another girl? Like, can I kiss your belly?
No. Leading up to that, no, that was never my move. It was just, I don't know, she was wearing a short shirt, and she had a pretty belly, and she was standing there. I'm like, what a pretty belly. Can I kiss your belly? And she basically said no, like... You can't kiss my belly in front of a fucking old horse, dude.
So, anyway, man.
I bring it up because my buddy, who was the groom, we joked about the horse and stuff through the years, and he called me years ago. He's like, oh, the horse died, and he was telling me the story that you call company, and they come and they pick up the horse, and it's a heavy animal, so they bring a flatbed truck, and there's a big tarp over it. And they pull back the tarp to take this lever that scoops up the horse and puts it on. And he goes, and already on the flatbed, he goes, because it was the end of the day, was like a cow, a big dog, another horse. How about that gig, huh? Driving around in a flatbed, picking up large dead animals. Oh, yeah. It's fucking, who can't wait for happy hour? This guy.
Oh, man, these jobs, man. Well, this guy that's removing my possums, he told Lana today he's trying to do a reality show on picking possums up. Would we be interested in getting involved? It can take the thing to Malibu.
Oh, God. Guy, I already have my showrunner writing an episode for Real TV on NBC about you. All right. So I want to ask you, with these possums, though, when they tell you that they're taking them out to Malibu, and you said, like, you know, who knows if they really are or not, do you think they feel like they have to tell the people where they're taking them? They can't just, like, that's something, like, they, if they don't tell people will want to know?
Well, I asked. I go, where are you taking this thing? And he goes, we take them out to the canyons in Malibu. So I'm thinking, if he's taking them all the way to Malibu, don't you think he's taking the Malibu possums to me?
He's like a cab. Don't come back from Malibu without a couple of possums. Right? Oh. Like, there's people in Malibu going, what do you do with these possums? We'll bring them to West Hollywood. Actually, the possums don't even see it as a cage. They see it as a taxi stand.
Do you think the possum goes, oh, God, there's one. I need to go back to Malibu and say hi to my wife.
Yeah. Yeah, it says to Fred, I know a house where there's two. We can go together. Oh, wait, I can't. It drives me nuts. Every time I get to this one stand, there's always a motherfucking squirrel already there.
Well, I'm thinking now, because last night, you know, the peanut butter hangs from, like, the middle of the cage, and I decided I didn't think the peanut butter was going to work, so what I did was I cut a few apple slices. I heard that they like apples, so I threw some apples in the damn thing. Then Lana comes out. She's got a can of tuna. I go, what are we giving this guy, a three-course meal? We don't even make this food for us, let alone... So I said, put the tuna away. We're going to put tuna and the whole thing in there. She goes, no, tuna, and then they could have some dessert. I go, get the dessert. Listen, we could do this all day. And I'm thinking, if we put the peanut butter and the apples and we start attracting squirrels, we might be attracting an animal problem that I didn't even have to begin with. I could have a squirrel problem after this.
Yeah, right? I mean, you're trying to catch a possum, but you're really turning into an animal bodega.
Yeah, the word's out in the neighborhood. The squirrels are going, they got peanut butter over on Jackson Street.
I tell you, that's what we caught the mouse with. What is it with peanut butter? Animals love that shit.
I don't know. You'd think they wouldn't really like it just because of how kind of dry and sticky it might be on the mouth.
Yeah, I would agree, man. And it's like they eat the peanut butter and like they don't have that look like they're looking for water. It's always wild to me.
Yeah, it's strange, but I guess peanut butter is the way to go. So, yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens over the weekend in regards to our possum. We wanted to get into this guy on the White House lawn.
Yeah, the guy who strolled into the front of the White House. With a machete?
How is this possible?
Oh, my God. It's anything's possible right now, bro, under this man's watch.
It's...
I really feel... I mean, it's unbelievable, man. I don't know what else to say.
I don't either. I've never heard of this happening before where somebody actually hopped the fence. I mean, I've been to the White House, not in it, obviously, outside, and I've actually looked at the fence, and I'm like... You know, this fence doesn't look big enough for the White House. My fence that I'm taking down on my other house is bigger than that one.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, when you go to those star maps, if you go up into Mulholland Drive, there's always this one area where, according to those celebrity star maps, Jack Nicholson lives somewhere back here. You can't even make out the driveway of Jack Nicholson's house. How come I feel like if I squint in between those bars really close, I think I can see Michelle Obama putting Sweet and Low in her coffee? Right? It's the first lady. I shouldn't be able to see into the White House. But that's part of the beauty of it, bro. You're supposed to feel this sort of, they're right here. They're part of the people. This is our leader. But you always feel, right? Because I've been right where you're talking to. You feel like, okay, even though it seems like I can easily hop this, I would bet I'd get 5 feet and I'd get shot 6 times.
I would think if anybody started to climb the fence, they would be picked off with a bullet within seconds. If anybody was just even up at the top of the fence, you would just see a sniper fire come from the roof, and that guy's... But to go over, to run across the lawn, and this ain't a house that's, you know, it's got a front lawn like me and you. This is a thing that you gotta run for it to get to the house. And yeah. Then he goes inside? What is this?
Just strolls right in. I mean, you would like to think if you hold on to the black iron railing of the fence too long, the Secret Service shoot a bullet just below your pinky and a spark goes off to let you know to get your fucking hand off the fence, guy. Right? This guy's strolling in with a goddamn steak knife from Sears. Holy shit. Obama, man, this guy, you know, he just, if we leave people alone, they'll leave us alone. Really? This guy's... Oh, my God.
The White House security is about as secure as the Mexican border. I mean, you could literally run into the country, and apparently you could run into the White House.
Dude,
it's bad, man.
This is the worst part about it. I don't even think he was like running, really. I think it was more like a light jog, like a pitcher coming out of the bullpen. Like, it wasn't even like, no one's even going, like, he was so fast.
Yeah, nothing. It's not like a Usain Bolt was doing a 200-yard meter or 200-meter sprint to the house. I don't know, man. And then the door's unlocked. In the White House, do they just think, eh, who's gonna come in?
I know. Remember when just a couple weeks ago, whatever it was, when we go on these show pitches out to all the networks, right? I'm pitching to CBS, NBC, all these places, ABC, same as you, the big networks, right? And there's gates all around these studios. Nobody's getting near that shit, man.
Yeah, nobody's getting near it. But apparently you can walk right into the house, White House, have a donut and a cup of coffee. And nobody says nothing. I mean, it's in the toilet.
Oh, you see all those immigrants that came in that instead of sending them back, Obama said, you got to just come and report to somebody in 3 weeks. And nobody reported. Nobody. None of them. I think four of them were letting a possum out of a cage in West Hollywood.
Oh, man.
Holy shit.
Wow. Man. Where's the country going?
I know, man.
So come with me. We'll go and see the Big Rock Candy Mountains. In the Big Rock Candy Mountains, there's a land that's fair and bright, where the handouts grow on bushes and you sleep out every night, where the boxcars all are empty and the sun shines every day on the birds and the bees and the cigarette trees, the lemonade springs where the bluebird sings in the Big Rock Candy Mountains. I'll see you all this coming fall in the Big Rock Candy Mountains.
Read this email we got, or whatever it is we got. You read it to me on the you sent it to me text. And these are always just fun once in a while because before Sebastian reads this, he sent this to me, and look at this, he says, you know. And we like to once in a while read these critiques we have of the show, not to point out, oh, look at some of the things people are saying. We like to point out, oh, look, he is a crazy person. And I think we have one here, reading, right?
Yeah, there we go. I got to say, you guys are pretty much Neanderthals when it comes to age and gender. A senior citizen shouldn't wear an earring. Men shouldn't drink white wine. Women shouldn't use toothpicks inappropriately. Fortunately, not everybody lives with such a closed-minded limitations on what it means to be a male or female. Some of us don't see people simply as bodies, male or female bodies. Our genitalia does not determine who we are on the inside. The soul, after all, is sexless, ageless, formless. As far as the outside goes, if the person isn't hurting you physically, you need to live and let live. Reading that, my body just got warm at about eight degrees warmer.
Oh, man. Waiting. We're all waiting. It's like when you watch Different Strokes. It's not a full episode until Arnold says, what are you talking about, Wilson? Me, as much as every fan of this show, is waiting for you to go, you got nothing better to do. When do we get that from?
Now, listen, as far as anything goes, I just want to take just a moment to address the comment. Not that it needs addressing, it's just we do it for like kind of the fun of the show. The whole idea of comedy is pointing out people who aren't making fun of you or who are not bothering you. That's the thing. They are bothering me. You don't have to hit me in the face to bother me. You could take your shoe off at the fucking airport and I could start sweating over that, right?
Absolutely, man.
That's the whole thing, man. You don't have to physically assault me to bother me. Your behavior bothers me. All right?
Yes! You bother me!
I looked at this guy's Facebook page, or whoever it was. I don't even know if it's a female or a male. I got about 68 lions, pictures of lions all over the page. I go, this is what we're dealing with. A fucking lion head. Oh, shit. If you're still listening.
What do you mean, like photographs of lions?
Photographs of lions all over his Facebook page. You know the type of page where you go and you can't see them, what they look like?
Yeah.
So they just got lions and rainbows and shit like that? Yeah, that's it. That's what we're dealing with. If you're still listening to the show, do me a favor. Unsubscribe. All right?
Oh, if we had a mechanism to just shut people down, you'd be shut off.
You'd be shut down. And you know what? If you write another comment again on my page, we might set a trap at your house.
What are you doing? A man of your stature, what are you going to this lion guy's Facebook page for at all, bro?
That's what you know why? Because now we have 7 minutes of content on our cast.
That's true.
If I don't do this stuff, then I don't come up with stuff that we could talk about on the cast on my end. So that's why we get into these things, man.
Hey, listen, fair enough. But, you know, and some of the things he touched on, first of all, Sebastian drinks white wine, so we can't, that one right there, I that's me alone. Yeah, elderly men shouldn't wear earrings, and what? Women shouldn't use a toothpick inappropriately? No one should use anything inappropriately.
Yeah, I mean, these are all things that, listen, in my book, we're making fun of ourselves. I mean, we're making fun of ourselves. You don't think I think it's ridiculous to call 5 Mexicans over to my house to release a squirrel? I mean, come on!
I'm laughing a second time at that one, man.
Oh, shit. God.
So, if we don't police this stuff on some level, just by bringing it up and maybe pointing it out and maybe making people more aware, do you have those two texts I sent you right before the show?
The photos of looks like a guy on a plane.
It's a guy sitting next to me on a plane. The first one is of his thumbnail, and the second one is of his jeans. And I want to get into this real quick, because it goes along the line of, like, live and let live, or whatever this guy who wrote this letter to us. Live and let live is fine until I'm on a flight from Philly to Providence, and this guy... Dude, how many times has this happened? I'm sitting in the waiting area to board the plane, and the dirtiest human being I've seen since the doctor's office on last episode is sitting in the Philly airport at 5:30 in the morning, eating a fucking Snickers. A Snickers. And licking his fingers when it's done. Licking the chocolate. Ooh. Get that last chocolate, right?
Yeah.
And I'm looking at him, I'm like, oh, he'll be right next to me. He might even be on my lap. Might be a new seating arrangement, right? And I mean, he was right next to me. I couldn't believe it. I mean, it wasn't a giant plane, but nevertheless. So, yeah.
Is the fingernail that I'm looking at, is that just a dirty fingernail, or is that chocolate?
No, that's his dirty fingernail, and I tried to get the best shot I could of it and hoped you could do the thing where you zoom in with your fingers. I took like 6 or 7 shots, and he started to hear the clicking, and he couldn't figure out what I was taking a photo of, and I'm like, you're fucking nasty fingernails. Look at that.
Yeah, it's disgusting. I'm going to post it up on our page. When I get a hint of anything under my fingernail, the whole day shuts down until whatever it is comes off, right?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, if you see dirt on your fingernail, it's just like, ew, look at that. I need something to get that out. Like a splinter.
Wow. And what's this thing on the pants?
I'll get to the pants in a second, but I want to also say with the fingernail, have you been able to zoom in? It's long and dirty. He's got the kind of fingernails that you only see when the guy who just did your brake job and your oil change also runs your credit card. You ever hand that guy your credit card in a fucking Getty jacket? And you're like, oh, God. Keep it. Cut that shit up. I'm calling Visa for a new one. Jesus Christ. Don't you have a wife that could work the counter? What the fuck?
Yeah. Where you got to wash your credit card after that.
Oh, with that greasy. And I think they do that long thumb fingernail to like turn bolts and shit. I swear to God. So then his jeans, if you look faintly, I swear to God, I feel like we're in CSI here. but you see those two light stains? There's two.
Yeah.
Okay. He sneezes into his dirty hand and then wipes his hand and then wipes his hand on his black jeans and causes those two stains. So those two stains are from his sneezing and wiping on his hand. And, I'm supposed to live and let live, fucking lion guy.
Lion guy. Go to our page and take a look at the fingernail and the fucking sneeze juice on the guy's kneecap and tell me we're supposed to just, what, turn the other cheek? Go fuck.
I feel like you just shot Spider in the Goodfellas and I'm De Niro.
How's that, all right?
What's the fucking matter with you?
What's
the fucking matter with you? What are you, stupid or what?
Tommy,
I'm kidding with you. What the fuck are you doing? Are you a fucking sick maniac?
Oh, God.
And he smelled, and you know, man, goddamn, I wanted to move. And the only two reasons I didn't move is because the only place I could have moved was to a woman who had two seats to herself. And I could tell she was very happy to have him. She had a computer out, and she really was psyched. And two, I didn't want to embarrass this guy who smelled and had sneezed on his hand and shit. I didn't want to embarrass him. Isn't that crazy? Like, why would I care about embarrassing him? He needs to be embarrassed. Someone needs to police this shit. I keep saying it. That should be a job the government creates. You can't leave the house if you're fucking dirty, man.
I agree, man. I mean, there's so much things that could be solved if you just had someone who kind of did a once-over before you left the house and said, hey, the nails. And then, okay, and then you got to go back in and do something about it. I don't know.
No, I know. I don't know either. Speaking of that trip, I did have a yelling incident. Dude, I'm starting to think I need a psychiatrist or something. I don't know. It must be me, man. This one wasn't even a flight attendant. It wasn't a passenger. You know who I had it out with this time? The fucking the baggage conveyor belt people waiting for my bags.
I didn't even know there was a baggage conveyor belt person.
No, I'm saying, though, you know, all right, like, you flew into Buffalo last week to play Helium, all right?
Yeah.
I would imagine you do carry-on.
Yeah.
All right. Normally, I do, too, but I fly the same airline a lot, so if you want to check it, it's free. So I figure, I have a layover. I don't want to drag it around. And then as soon as I get to Buffalo, I go, God damn, I remember every time it's really slow here. And this particular time, it was U.S. Airways. But it's not the airline as much as it is the people that work behind the conveyor belt. And I'm waiting for my bags, right? Sunday afternoon, very few flights coming into Buffalo. I go to the bathroom, and I'll just be honest, man, just for the sake of this, so you know how long I was gone. I did number two, right? I come back, all right? I come back, so it's been some time. Still, no movement, no noise, no nothing. Now I'm standing there, so, and there's a couple other people waiting, so I go into the U.S. Airways little area where you go if your bags are lost. There's a woman behind the counter talking to another guy, and I just lean in the doorway and I go, excuse me, the bag's coming soon. Right? You know? And I know she don't know, but it's my way of saying, make a fucking phone call and figure out what the fuck is going on, right?
Yeah.
So she goes, they'll be coming any minute, sir. And I'll go, okay, because it's been a while. We've been waiting here a while, so. And I walk away. I'd say a solid, realistically, 3 minutes go by, but for me it felt like another 10, right?
Yeah.
And I'm getting so pissed. And bro, up until now it's been like 25-30 minutes. No, and this isn't Kennedy, this is one. So I hear two other older women waiting for their bags, and I hear the one woman say, oh, this place, it's just so notorious for being slow with the bags. And that just triggers something in my head. That's all I needed, the affirmation to go, okay, I'm not alone. So I march back over to U.S. Airways. I stick it in, and I go, we're still waiting, miss. We're still waiting. And she goes, they should be any minute, sir. I go, why don't you make a goddamn phone call? I go, Jesus. And I do one of those as I walk away. I yell out really loud as I walk away. I go, the bag shouldn't take longer than the flight. The bag shouldn't take longer than the flight. I said it twice because I thought it was such a great line.
Oh, man.
And then, like, no. I would say, swear to God, within 20, maybe 30 solid seconds of me saying that, that red light goes off, and the whole baggage cart starts moving. And I know it's not because I yelled, but man, it sure looked timing-wise like there was three dudes in the back going, start it up. There's an Italian guy out there going fucking hog wild. Have you ever wanted to stick your head in there just to peek? Like, what is going on back there?
They don't... I've often wanted to crawl through the damn thing.
That's what I'm saying. Just crawl through and go, what the fuck are you... I feel like they're playing cards.
I don't even know what's back there. Do you?
No, I have no idea. It could be a bunch of midgets singing Oompa Loompa. I really don't. It's one of the places I'd love to see if I could crawl through there. I'd love to see what's going on.
Oh, yeah. You know what? You would probably get stopped faster crawling through there than you did the White House.
You could get all the way to the Oval Office with a machete in one hand and a fuse and a lighter in the other. But you can't get halfway up the conveyor belt at Delta from JFK.
Is that your cell phone on your waist right there? And you got a watch. Right? Your phone has the time. I'm surprised the watch is hanging in there. What's with the watch? You just like having a watch? Your watch is waterproof. Again, we're not even near fucking water right now. I don't even get that concept. What do you mean, you confidently walk past the sprinkler? Is that what you're talking about? Your husband's like, Jerry, what you have in a sprinkler? It's waterproof. I'll go right through.
So, can we get into this, our news that we've been saying for the last month and a half here?
Yeah, of course. Finally, man. Finally, we can get into the news.
All right. So, tell the listeners what's going on.
I don't know, man. Maybe you got a better gander on it. I mean, you know, too. I mean,
I'm just throwing the ball over to you.
Oh, all right. Okay. All right. So, we were with Sideshow Network.
Yeah.
For quite a while. This is tougher. I feel like I'm Seinfeld going, we started out on Fox, then me and Kramer had a conversations that let's take... No, but we were on Sideshow Network. A lot of you people would download our podcast from Sideshow Network. And these were good people, and they were kind of affiliated with our management company, so we started out with them. And it ran its course in a nutshell.
Yeah.
And we were trying to leave, figuring out what we're going to do and where we're going to go. And we're going, I mean, the reason we finally decided to leave is because we found the home, man. We're doing this show and the last show independently, but then we're going to a place called Riot Cast.
There you have it, folks. There's the big announcement. We are headed over to Riot Cast, which has a ton of great podcasts.
It's the HBO of podcasts.
It's the HBO of podcasts. And Nick DiPaolo being one. Robert Kelly is a very funny comedian. It's his company, right?
It's Bobby Kelly. He got it started with Rob. And they got Rich Voss and Bonnie. They got, like you said, DiPaolo. And, of course, Robert Kelly. Fucking such a great friend. Awesome guy. And he's got the dude. Oh, this is an edit. Dude, what's up? I just call Robert Kelly's podcast. Fucking Bobby Kelly's podcast. Google Robert Kelly, and it's one of the best podcasts you're going to listen to. And we're a part of that whole family now, and we're very excited about that.
Yeah, and what they do over there is they do a lot of cross-promotion. They do a lot of... there's a lot of awareness over there that might have not been over at Sideshow. So yeah, we're happy to be over there. We're moving on, bigger and better things, and I hope you guys follow us over there. It's not going to make much change to the of where you get us. We're going to still be up on iTunes and all the other platforms, but as far as the home page, it's going to be Riotcast rather than Sideshow. And I don't even know how many people were actually listening to us off Sideshow's website.
No, we never got a real good number of how many people have been listening to us in general. But yeah, I don't know what it was specifically off Sideshow. Although, you know, when we were leading up to, like, leaving them, it was a call I wasn't really looking forward to making. And, you know, we talked about it and, like, hey, you know, even with the guys over Riotcast, I'm like, well, if they're difficult, they can, like, make it so that all the shows you've done up until now, you'll have to reload them. So, and that could take time, so hopefully they'll be cool about everything when you leave. So it was real delicate when I went to call Sideshow to say we're not going to work with them anymore. So when I finally made the call and called up the guy and said we're leaving Sideshow, he cared less than if I just canceled my video membership at the local Blockbuster. I mean, he was like, okay, take care, Pete. I go, yeah, no, it's been a good run with you guys, and we appreciate it. He's like, no problem, man. So I go, yeah, you know, and I don't know if it's asking too much, but can I get the codes? Yeah, no, I already sent the codes to Lou. Lou has the codes. Don't even worry. I mean, I think they might even be sending Jimmy from Boston a gift basket. I think
Couldn't wait for us to get off the damn air.
A lot of men from Sideshow went home to their wives that night, opened up the door, and said, finally, baby!
Jeez, they're gone.
Yeah. Listen, bro, I just wanted to call you. Unfortunately, well, I want to say thanks for everything, but unfortunately, the whole crew I deal with and do the show, we were talking it out, and we're going to leave Sideshow.
Okay.
So I just wanted to tell you, you know, we're really grateful, and it's been a good run. And it was just by kind of a popular vote, popular consensus, I should say. So I just wanted to call you. I didn't want to send an email saying, hey, it's over.
It's all good. Who do we send everything to then?
Well, this is...
all of our logins and stuff.
Well, okay, thank you, man. And thanks for making it very an easy process. And not, you know, I appreciate it. And it's nothing with you guys at all.
Yeah. I'll give you the keys to everything.
All right, and to please email iTunes and remove the association with Sideshow and the iTunes?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, I can. No problem. All that stuff will be fine. I just need to know who you want me to send all the logins to. No problem.
All right, take care.
Bye.
And don't let the doorknob hit you where the good Lord split you. All right?
So
yeah, we're up on the Robert Kelly Network. It's called Riotcast. Nick DiPaolo, Robert Kelly, Jim Florentine, like you said, Bonnie and Rich are on that thing. So they got a lot of good people doing their shows over there. So we're excited to start a new venture there.
Oh, they got Florentine too. Oh my God, I love Florentine. He's got, I don't know why, like, you know, you got a joke. Yeah, everyone just likes a joke. He's got a joke. It's pretty much my favorite joke ever. Like, when I used to play the Comedy Cellar, he used to do this joke where he'd go, you know, you have online, like, at the supermarket, there's, like, two lines, one with, like, an ugly chick and the other one with, like, a hot chick. And the line with the hot chick is longer, but you get on that line anyway. And then the ugly chick's over there going, I'm open over here. I'm open. And I'm like, yeah, right already. There's a reason you're open over there. And then the bit goes on, but fucking makes me laugh.
Oh, man. You do a good impersonation of him.
Oh, man. He's a funny guy and a dear friend, man. Listen, I got to ask you a quick question because I don't know if this is wrapping up soon. So if I'm holding you on too long.
Oh, good.
So, and I'll have Lou play a couple of them just to prove that I'm not lying. So over the past week, I keep getting these calls from this guy looking for Maria. And he's, I forget the guy's name, Brian or something like that. And he's from some school with a program, and he's trying to get a hold of Maria about enrollment in this program, right? Yeah. And like I said, I'm going to have Lou just play tune now. Guy calls me at nighttime, calls me again in the morning time.
Good morning, Maria. This is Brian from Walden University. How are you today? Following up with you about your interest in the MSN program, please give me a call when you have a moment at 443.
And I keep getting these messages. I must have got about 11 or 12 phone calls, maybe 8 messages over the past 5 days from the guy.
Good evening, Maria. This is Brian from Walden University. How are you today? I want to follow up with you about your interest in our nursing programs. Please give me a call when you have a chance, 537-74. I just want to just touch base with you.
I'm sitting there going, guy, what? Get the memo, man. So yesterday I'm driving, and, you know, I'm just, the guy called me at the right time. He calls, I see the number. I'm like, yeah, enough with this fucking guy, right? So bam, I go, hello? And he goes, yeah, hi, is Maria there? And, you know, bro, first of all, if I'm not Maria and Maria's not here, what do you think? This is a house? Who the fuck? Everyone's got their own phone now, guy. Wait, you think you're calling a pizza place? Hold on. Hey, Maria. Do I sound like Maria? If I don't sound like Maria, then Maria's not here, guy. Fuck. When was the last time you called and if the person you weren't looking for didn't answer, you asked if they were there? So I go, hello. He goes, yeah, it's Maria. I go, yeah, no, you got the wrong number, man. And he goes, oh, because I've been calling this number for the past few days. And I go, yeah, it's the wrong number. It's been the wrong number. And he goes, oh, well, you know. And he says something like, would have been nice if you could have called to tell me. And I go, well, I just figured when no one's calling you back that you would know. And I wouldn't have said that, but he said that. And, yeah. He said something like, oh, we need more like you. And I go, I think so. And then we both hung up. It was a very odd exchange. We need more like you. I was very sarcastic of him. I did like the line. But my point is, have you ever had someone leave a wrong number message on your phone? And if so, would you call back and say, I know you were looking for Jerry. I just wanted to let you know Jerry don't live here.
No, I listen, a wrong number comes in. Number one, I've had people leave messages in a different language on my machine, like, or on my voicemail, where it's clearly me talking. Hey, listen, I can't get to the phone right now. I leave a message. And then they'll go on into, like, a Russian, they're speaking Russian. It's like, I don't know, like, don't you know who you're calling? Like, if the message is in English and you start talking in Russian, don't you go, you know, I don't think that was the right number. I mean, I don't know.
No, like he's saying to his Russian buddy, I guess Sebastian's bilingual. I didn't know.
Yeah, but it's like, if I call a number and the message is in Chinese, I don't leave a message. Right?
I don't know. Do you figure? You hear ching chang ching chang cho.
And I'll go, hey, listen, just looking for Barry. What the fuck?
It sounds that absurd now when you do it that way, man.
Yeah, so. I don't know why he would keep calling that number and asking for Maria.
I'm looking for Barry. Is Barry there? Is he eating an egg roll? Tell him to put the egg roll down and get on the fucking phone. I'm sorry, I cut you off, man.
No, I'm just saying. I don't understand why this guy not only was constantly calling you, but then when he got you on the phone, wanted a courtesy call back to him?
Well, he could tell from my vibe when I said you have the wrong number. He could tell that I had been getting these messages and I was agitated that he kept calling. So he felt like, it would have been nice if he just called and told me. And I'm like, I just couldn't. Do people do that? Do they get a message that's a wrong number and actually call up and say you called the wrong person? I mean, wow, that's a level of niceness that. You're going down the wrong dirt road, honey.
Yeah, no, that's strange, man.
I thought so, too. Oh, God, what a show.
What a show. I'm looking up online now. We're not even up on the damn iTunes. They took us off iTunes.
Well, maybe we're in a temporary switchover. You know what I'm saying? We're doing this show late at night. Maybe we're in the... Because I know there was some switching over going on and stuff like that. And it's in Lou's hands and it's in Rob's hands. And I mean, Robert Kelly, we can't even call him for help now because he just landed a part playing a drummer in this new Dennis Leary show where he gets a band back together. It's already picked up for like a whole season. Bobby Kelly's got this sickest, greatest, awesome, well-deserved acting gig. So I don't think he's gonna be in between takes with Leary on the set going, yeah, Petey and Seb are on the phone. They can't get fucking iTunes on. They're not on iTunes.
Yeah, well, now that he got this, he might shut down the damn Riot Cast. And now what?
Hey, it don't even matter. We're not on it, apparently. No.
Oh,
that's all good. That's all good. All right. Yeah. Shit. Well, we got to look into that, man. But we should be up. We'll be all right.
So where are you at this weekend?
Well, I'm in Cincinnati Funny Bone, but I would like to plug two things. One, at... what is it called? My Corielli. Corielle is the Twitter feed. But set those DVDs and VCR. Wednesday night, man. Conan O'Brien. I'll be on Conan O'Brien this Wednesday night.
That's right. So listen, you're in town Tuesday, right?
Yeah, dude. We're hanging out Tuesday night.
Yeah,
all
I know.
Four of us.
I know.
All
right. We're in. I'm just double-checking.
So listen, what are we doing? We don't, you know, we definitely, we got to come back to the house. I mean, Jackie's got to see that house, man.
Yeah, no, we'll do the house. I'm thinking we maybe go grab a bite, maybe come back to the house for a nightcap, no?
Absolutely, bro. Of course. We're staying just around the bend anyway, so, but of course, man, it'll be awesome. We're totally looking forward to it. It's going to be a ball. I'm already laughing, thinking about the good times.
We'll hope we still have the possum. Maybe get those possums cleaned up before you guys get there.
Well, listen, we're coming in and we're hanging out Tuesday night. So if you catch a possum like Monday night into Tuesday morning, just keep feeding it. But don't call the guy because I'd like to see it Tuesday night. It'd be nice to party with a possum in the corner. Right? Every time we do a joke, we look back. You hear that?
No, I'll keep it. We'll definitely take a look at what we caught. I'm in Dallas this weekend over at the Addison Improv, and then next weekend in Philadelphia at the Helium. So SebastianLive.com has.
And when does the special? When does the special come out?
I know when the special comes out. I'm.
Oh, all right. I didn't know you didn't already been announced. All right, beautiful. That's for another day. Big announcement coming down the line.
Big announcement, and good hang, man. Good hang. Just a shout out to the listeners. If there's any confusion of where to find us, be patient. Again, we are switching over to Riotcast. If you can't find us up on iTunes or whatnot, we will get that solved and get the show back out to you.
Absolutely, man. I have to say one last one because she's a huge fan. To Shannon specifically out in Cleveland, who went to see you a few times and then went to see me. She said, I guess I got to tip $100 to get a shout out on the Pete and Sebastian show. And you do. I'm kidding, man. I really am, man. You're all great, man. But $100 is nice. I don't know what to tell you.
It's a nice touch.
There we go. Let's end it on that. It's a nice touch. But you're all great, man. Dude, what a fun show. I love doing this with you.
Later. It's great. Great. See ya.
The show has ended.
I don't know. She was wearing a short shirt and she had a pretty belly. And she's standing there. I'm like, what a pretty belly. Can I kiss your belly? And she basically said no. Like, you can't kiss my belly in front of a fucking old horse, dude.